Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Mr. Trust, our Apostolic Side of Turn Congregation. Today is June the 25th, 2025. It is the new moon. The fourth solar month. And it's the first day of the fourth solar month, 2029. We're going to start a new moon service, a continuation of the two timely greetings of number 21. And our prayer thought goes out into children born unto a lewd mother. That's the name of bring peace and happiness in the home. That's a title of our sermon. Okay. So it says, our very thought that's taken from Christ's Object Lesson, page 55. Cares, riches, pleasures, all are used by the Satan in the playing of the game of life for the human soul. For the warning is given, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He who reads the hearts of men as an open book has said, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the surfeiting and the drunkenness and terrors of this life. And the apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of the money is the root of all evil, which while some are coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with the many sorrows. We are to pray for to overcome the love of the world and to remember that Satan is playing a game of life for the souls of Yahweh's people, to be given grace to work and pray and never before to overcome the wiles of the devil, to know that he is no foe to the trifle, to be trifled with, and that Yahshua is the captain who never lost a battle, that if we enlist his help, he will see us through. In the prayer thought, all right, we're going to go into our reading here. Children born to a lewd mother bring peace and happiness in the home. January 3rd, 1948, Ricky Hollis made this message. All right, so is that done. Our subject for today is found in Hosea chapters 1 and 2. The first and most important thing to ascertain about these chapters is the time in which their prophetic import unrolls and unfolds. To find this out, we shall read Hosea 2:18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down to safety. Up unto this very day, Yahweh's people have never as yet experienced such a complete and absolute security and freedom as set forth in this verse of the scripture. It is therefore quickly seen that the subject of the chapter reaches even beyond our time. As we study the chapters verse by verse, the time element will appear still brighter and brighter. Hosea 1:1-2. For the word of the Yahweh that came unto Moses, the son of Beor, beareth, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Yahweh by the Hosea. And the Yahweh said unto the Hosea, take unto thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredom, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Yahweh. For the prophet Hosea was commanded to take a wife of whoredom, for other reason than to portray the sad and abominable condition which sin obtained in Israel. For this marriage is only visionary, just as is the prophet Ezekiel 940 days on the one side and 390 days on the other side. Ezekiel 4:4-6. Hosea 1:3-5. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And Yahweh said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel, and it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. For the firstborn son of the prophet's visionary marriage, you see, was named Jezreel, in order to foreshadow shadow that which was to befall the nation, predicting not only the termination of the kingdom, but also the very place in which his army was to be defeated, in the Valley of Jezreel. And this destructive evil was to have come upon them for the shedding of the blood of the Jezreel, but obviously not the Jezreel that has just been born and named, who the slain Jezreel is, we shall see later in the study, Isaiah 167. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And the Yahweh said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. Okay. It says in Isaiah 1:6-7. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and Yahweh said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Yahweh, their Yahweh, and will not save them by the bow, nor by sword, nor by the battle, by the horses, nor by the horsemen. For the 10 tribe kingdom, Israel, was spared until the birth of Lo-Ruhamah. But the name of the second child entitled that Yahweh was to have the more mercy upon the house of Israel that its end had already come. However, he was to have mercy upon the house of Judah, the 3 tribe kingdom, and was to deliver it by a miracle. And that is what happened. An angel slew 185,000 of the Assyrian army, and thus Yahweh spared the house of Judah, 2 Kings 19:35. Hosea 1:8-9. Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, and said to Yahweh, call his name Lo-Ruhamah, for ye are not my people, and I am not your Yahweh. For the 3rd child, was named Lo-Ruhamah, to show that Yahweh's mercies were to depart even from the house of Judah, but rather than to let them not to let them be subjugated as his people, he first rejects them, whereupon they were no longer his people. For the Apostle Peter cites this verse of the Scripture as referring to the unbelieving Jews. As a nation, they were rejected after the crucifixion of Yahshua, and resist no longer his people, 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. For the individuals, though, who did believe in the Yahshua were re-accepted, and they became the children of the living Yahweh. See Romans 9:26. Okay, we're going to continue here. Now note that this symbolism has thus far taken us prophetically and historically from the days of the house of Israel unto the Christian era. Hosea 1:10. Now Vicki Hollis says Christian, to the Christian era, he means to the apostolic era of the New Testament, starting with the disciples. Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of the Israel shall be in the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall be said unto them, you are the son of the living Yahweh. Yet that is in spite of the fact that the children of Israel were to be scattered throughout the nations and rejected, be no longer Yahweh's people. Yet in spite of all these, both the descendants of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, all the children of the Jacob were to be multiplied as the sand of the sea by the number. They are reaccepted and thus become the sons of the living Yahweh through the Savior Yahshua, the Messiah. From this scripture, you know that this multitude of the sons of Jacob are not the identified Jews of today, but rather the lost descendants of the Judah and Israel, of those who were assimilated by the Gentile nation and by the early apostolic church, that had taken upon themselves the title, it says Christian here, of those who thus lost their racial and national identity. From all these, after having been scattered throughout the Gentile nations, and after having lost their identity, are to come the sons of Yahweh that are projected in this allegorical prophecy. Thus many of us who are supposed to be of the Gentile nation may at long last discover that we are of the lost tribes of Judah and Israel, and of the apostolic part of Jews, though none of us really know our genealogy very far back, yet Yahweh, who knows even the number of the hairs on one's head, has kept an accurate genealogical record of each of us. So he says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her, for the Yahweh shall count when he rideth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. Psalms 87:4-6. This is Hosea 1:11. Then shall the children of the Judah and the children of the Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of the Jezreel. Here we are definitely told that in the latter days Yahweh's saints without a sinner among them are to be gathered together from the four corners of the earth and be organized into a theocratic government, of which the antitypical David is to be the king. This is that in the days of these kings, not after their days, shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people. Verily it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hand, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Yahweh has made known unto the king, which shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Daniel 2:44-45. Okay, now when it says that he breaks in pieces the iron, well, that's Rome, that's the pagan Rome, that's the ecclesiastical Rome today, that would be the Catholic Church, and the brass, that would be the Grecia, the kingdom of the Muslims, and the clay, that would be the house of Israel, the other clay. That's the ones that didn't get the seal. The silver, which is Persia, and the gold, which is Babylon. So all those things that existed before, they're amalgamated together in the last day. So this kingdom that is set up, that's this stone that you now know that hand, it overthrows all these amalgamated kingdoms in these last days. Donald Trump right now is setting up the king of the kingdom of Persia, the second one. Then we got the Grecian kingdom's got to come. You got the Rome kingdom's got to come, and then the kingdom of heaven overthrows all of that. Okay, and another allegorical prophecy in the connection with this one, we are again told, Hosea 3, 4, and 5, for the children of the Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. After which shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahweh their father, seek the Yahshua the son of the Yahweh, and David their king. Now that's where it should be read. They're going to seek the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. And because Yahweh is in heaven, the son of Yahweh is here on earth. And he's with the antithetical David. This is where, and the children of Israel will come seeking him. Wherever this antithetical David is at, sitting upon his kingdom, that's where Yahshua, they're going to find Yahshua. And David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Here again, the promises are as plain as the words can make them, that after the dispersion and captivity of the many days, Yahweh's scattered people are then to return unto their homeland, and are then to seek the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, their king, and David, their underservant to this King Yahshua, their king. So we have two kings here. We have David is the king over this Israel, Judah, the house of Judah, because it was made of him about 2 years ago. And Yahshua is the king over all the tribes and all of the world. Okay. And they who are living are trying to make a permanent national home in the promised land. Yahshua, for the antithetical false gods, have for centuries preached the kingdom of the Yahweh, but it is not and yet sure unto most of them whether it is to be tangible as the earth itself, or whether it is to be something foamy, something floating in the space, or what, whatever, or whether it is to be something foamy, something floating in the space, or what? Okay. Whether it is to be, for the inspiration, however, clearly declares that the kingdom of Yahshua, the church, purified, since Daniel 8, 14, is to be as real as any other kingdoms of the earth. Now, we shall continue our study through Hosea chapter 2, because, as I read before, it's the content of the continuation of those in the chapter 1. Hosea 2, 1-3. Say you unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sister, Ruama. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredom out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with the thirst. Let us remember that the first chapter brought us down through the stream of time down unto the apostolic era with Yahshua at the cross. Now in chapter 2, our attention is again directed unto Hosea's visionary children, but the prefix lo has been omitted from the names Lo Ruama and Lo Ami, so as to change the meaning from no mercy and not my people to mercy and my people. Here in this unique symbolism, fashion, years before the apostolic dispensation, inspiration foreshadowed the grace that was to be given unto the people in the apostolic era. And that rather than continue to be called Jews, or the tribe of Judah, exclusively the two tribes, or Judaizers, they were to be called by another name, a title, of Christians. Now this is strange. They went all the way from Jews to being called Christians. Mercy and my people. Well, now this is not right. We're going to have to leave that word apostolic there in place of Christian. Let's read that again. Here in this unique symbolism, fashion years before the apostolic dispensation, for the inspiration foreshadowed the grace that was to be given unto the people in the apostolic era, and that rather, this is talking about the Jews that accepted Yahshua. And that was the 12 apostles of the New Testament. And that rather than continue to be called Jews, the 12 apostles, we're talking about the 12 apostles, rather than the 12 apostles continue to be called Jews, because they accepted Christ, Yahshua, as their Yahshua, as their Savior, that's why they got a name change. And they got a name change to Apostolic Sabbatarian. But it's not mentioned here, for they were to be called by another name, Apostolic Sabbatarian or the antithetical Apostolic Sabbatarian, meaning feast keepers, and Sabbatarians, meaning that they were the feast keepers of all the holy days of the sanctuary, and that they accepted Yahshua then as their sacrifice. That's what should have all been explained in here. And my people are for the command to say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and unto your sister, Ruama, in itself explained that the Yahweh is speaking unto Jezreel, parentheses, armies, and Ruama's brother, and that Jezreel in turn is to speak anti army and anti Ruama, and the fact that Yahweh calls Hosea's visionary wife his own wife, the subject becomes still clearer. Hosea, as you see, represents the father Yahweh, and Hosea's wife represents Yahweh's church, Israel, as the one that Yahweh speaks unto represents his mouthpiece, his prophet, and Israel's brethren, Ami and Ruami, represents the members of the church, both male and female. Now, as the Ami and Ruama represents the laity, it is obvious that the mother represents the ministry, those who bring forth the converts into the church. Here we have a complete representation of the household of the Yahweh. Okay. It says the fact that Jezreel is to urge his brethren, the laity, to plead with the mother, with the ministry unto those who bring forth converts, that she put away her whoredom. The truth clearly stands out that this revival and reformation does not come to the laity through the ministry, but unto the ministry through the laity. For the laity is to explain that if the ministers fail to reform, Yahweh is to strip them naked, and naked as in the day they were born. Hosea 2:4-5. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredom. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lover that give me my bread, and my water, and my wool, and my flocks, my all, and my drink. For these verses set forth Yahweh's meaning of the grace, that if the mother fails to reform, fails to cease from her whoredom with the world and its practices, then not only the mother, but also her sympathizing children will forever fall from grace. For the mother here, we are told, imagine that her unlawful lovers are the ones who supply her with the temporal things of this life, and it is of her excuse for having anything to do with them. Moreover, we are then told that while she is thus playing the harlot, she is bringing forth illegitimate children unto converts. Here is a warning, which is no uncertain term, demands a reformation, or else the whole church family, except for those who reform, will be destroyed as completely as the ancient Jerusalem was destroyed some years after the crucifixion of the Asherah. Hosea 2:6-13. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with the thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her path, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return unto my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my thanksgiving to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all of her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moon, and new Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts, and I will destroy her vine and her fig trees wherever she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them, and I will visit upon her the days of the Balaam, wherein she burned incense unto them, and she decked herself with her earring and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forget me, saith the Yahweh. Oh boy. These verses explain Yahweh's way and power to save. Before he calls for the Reformation, he prepares the way. He brings his church to the trying and perplexing circumstances from which she cannot easily disengage herself. He brings her unto a situation similar unto which he brought the prodigal. He does this in order that she might be brought to realize for her support and reality comes from to know for certain that it does not come from her lovers. Then and then only may she do the very thing that the prodigal did when he came to himself. In the fulfillment of the prophecy contained in verse 11, Yahweh permitted the little horn of Daniel 7 to change time and laws, and permitted the saints of the Most High to be in his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time, Daniel 7:25. Over here 2:14-15. Therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vengeance and tents, and a valley of Achor for a door of the hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt, having brought her into a strait and embarrassing circumstances as only one can be in, for the Yahweh promises to allure her and to bring her into the wilderness there to speak comfortably unto her. Specifically speaking, having emerged from the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, Matthew 24:21, Yahweh brings her not into her vineyard, not in the promised land, but into the wilderness, into the lands of the Gentiles. There, to speak comfortably unto her and to help her reform. After this comforting meeting takes place, she is to have her vineyard from thence and the valley of the Achor for a door of the hope. There she is to sing and rejoice as in the days of her youth, and as in the days she came out of Egypt. For the valley of the Achor is her door of the hope, for it is the only way out of her predicament. For the valley has but one significance, for it stands for a thorough purging, for the destroying of the sinners that are in her midst before possessing the land. Her only hope of becoming a decent, respectable wife of the Yahweh. For it was in the valley of the Achor that Joshua stoned the last of the sinners in Israel, Achan, and his household. Then it was that the Israelite nation was permitted to take the promised land, the vineyard. Just such a purging as this in the church is the church's only door of the hope, says the inspiration, her only escape from her present plight. Then she is to return unto her former position and grace. Then she is to receive the promised blessing as early as the ancient Israel received hers. That remarkable incident in the valley of the Achor is now seen to typify the purging for the repossession of the promised land, typifying the judgment for the living. Okay, it says, the gathering of the saints and the destruction of the sinners, the separation of the wheat from the tares, the goats from the sheep, the good fish from the bad fish, the barn, Matthew 13:30, illustrates that the kingdom here projected as those to Yahshua's right and as to be the vessel. Hosea 2:16, and it shall be at that day, saith to Yahshua, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Beda. Let's do that again. Hosea 2:16. And it shall be at that day, saith to Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Beda. Yes, rather than be her Lord, it says here, Yahweh is indeed Yahshua is indeed to be her husband. For one can have lordsmen, but only one husband. Hosea 2:17. For I will take away the names of the Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. For the names of Balaam are significant of the persons possessing selfish characters, such as Balaam's teachers of the religion prophets, who would rather curse Israel and lose the opportunity of the monitor again, or of some other foolish, selfish promotion that exalts and flatters. Such shall then no longer be known by the lordly, high, and exalted titles. Okay, it says, when the church is thus purged of all her idols, then will she find eternal peace. Hosea 2:18-22. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heavens, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely, and I will be trusty unto me forever, yea, I will be trusty unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. I will even be taught thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Yahshua, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, say to Yahshua, I will hear the heaven, because Yahshua is here on the earth, and he's calling unto the heavens. And they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. But this Jezreel is a master prophet during these last days. These verses plainly show that the Yahshua's presence will in that day be in his church here on earth, that even the heavens will be listening unto the Yahshua's voice while he speaks unto his people here on the earth. For the earth shall also hear the corn and the wine and the oil. That is, the earth shall hear the truth that setteth supplies the soul as this wholesome and nourishing food. Moreover, not only the corn, the wine, and the oil, the whole truth, but Jezreel, the master prophet, too shall the earth hear, fainted. All these promises are to be fulfilled during the probationary time in the last prophetic hour of the 12th hour that we're in now, judgment of the living, for they cannot do the earth any good after the probationary time is exhausted. For the Jezreel, of whose blood ancient Israel was charged guilty, you see, was figurative of the prophet whom the Israel rejected and killed. Thus it is that the prophet-hating house of the Israel met his feet in the valley of the Jezreel, which by the interpretation is the valley of the slain prophets. Hosea 2:23. And I will show her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say unto them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my Yahweh. To sow her unto me in the earth means to multiply her children in the Yahweh's order after the she receives all these promised blessings, then she will truly have Yahweh's mercy, such great mercy as she has never before obtained. So unto those unto whom it was said, ye are not my people, it shall be they shall then, in the grand reality, be said, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. Now, that the whole truth of these chapters is disclosed for the first time since the prophet wrote them, and since no prophecy of the scriptures is of the private interpretation, not by the will of man, but by the will of the Spirit, 2 Peter 1, 20-21. For the fact is that Yahweh had us in the mind as to whom these chapters are you unfolded when he caused these things to be written or over since the first verses of the second chapter brings us down into the time of a revival and reformation taking place in our own time, sponsored by the Yahweh himself and brought to light to the Jezreel and carried on to the church by the laity, is a work that fulfills itself only in this layman's movement that is now sweeping throughout the Seventh-day Adventist world. This truth, therefore, stands as high as a mountain, that the Yahweh is now at work, that things are to move according unto his divine purpose. So it is that they shall hear Jezreel, and that Yahweh himself shall say unto them, Thou art my people. And they too shall say, Thou art our Yahweh. For the inspiration that shows that our efforts with this message are absolutely certain to effect the greatest reformation of all time, that the children rebuke to the mother is surely to bring peace and happiness to the house, hold of the Yahweh. We therefore have every reason to be as positive of the winning and as anxious to work as was the ancient David when he faced the giant Goliath. How clear it is that the children laity born unto a lewd woman church brings peace and happiness in the family of the Yahweh. You must therefore not fail to wholeheartedly and actually join this mighty layman's movement for the revival and reformation throughout the Laodicea and the finish of gospel work for the church. Fair as the moon, pure as the sun, and terrible as an army with the banner, she is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophets and Kings, page 725. This brings in verse 6, this hour, contact is the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message, and more. We're going to close now with a song.